didn't get the last video, last week's video.
You didn't get it?
No, it was in the
Silent
project.
Yeah.
Silent project.
Yeah,
Oh.
maybe I didn't
I
make
didn't
it
know
clear.
that.
I just uploaded there
Oh, okay.
and just downloaded it from there.
Oh.
Because it's redundant to send email every week.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you're late in sending the documents.
Yeah, unfortunately, I haven't had time to read it. So you would have to go through it with me. So this new time is fine with you guys? Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah? Okay. So let's do the same time for following
Yeah.
weeks as well.
Yes.
Okay.
Because in these days we won't sleep. Normally we go to sleep at 6 a.m.
At 6 a.m.
We have to get up in the morning before sunrise to do something.
Okay.
So we have to wake up at 4.
Okay.
Then up when we sleep at almost 6 or 5:30 or something like that.
Oh, I see. So you don't sleep all night?
No, we sleep at after prayers. Like there is special prayer
1 or
this
2 p.m.
month.
Then we have to pack up again at 4.
I see, I see. Is this because of the time difference between here and
No, it's all the
it's
same.
everywhere is the same
Same.
time, like you have to do it at 1 a.m. regardless of where you
No,
are.
no, no. We have to eat before sunrise, and
Oh,
we can breakfast after sunset.
okay.
So anywhere where it's just 20
Where?
hours, then it's 20 hours. For us, it's 15 hours. So,
And
same.
this is usually during summer?
No, the Arabic months are like 29 to 30 days. So each year it
It's.
shifts 10 days back.
Oh, I
So
see, I see.
we got it in winter once, now it's in summer.
Okay, I see. Yeah, so summer days are pretty
Yeah,
long.
oh.
Yeah. Well, I'm just wondering about the people in Northern Europe.
Yes, and my friends, one of my friends is in Norway,
Okay.
and he said in the beginning of Ramadan, it's 20 hours fasting.
Wow. Wow. Oh, that's really, really difficult. But it certainly builds a lot of discipline.
Yes.
Yes.
Yep. That's, there are good parts to all kinds of torture. Okay, so. Well, first of all, it seems you updated this, right?
Yes.
Okay, so what
There's
is the change here?
some changes in the names, like Norwegian system root, this
Okay.
one. And we changed the inode to rnode, like this.
Okay.
So rnode pointers, which are the indirect blocks to rnodes and rnode. And there is the region root, which is basically the root of a region. And there is region indirect pointers, and finally going to the persistent pages.
Okay.
So I've given a short description, like for the region system.
Tell me something about this region root. Does the region root have a fixed size or is it a
This is a
block
page
size?
size.
It's a page size,
Page
so you
size,
can
yes.
only have as many pointers to region indirect pointers. So it's a two-level indirection at this point,
Yeah,
right?
it may be direct or it can be indirect, like.
Like inodes in Linux file system.
For extension 3, there is 10 direct pointers and two double indirect, 3 and 1 to triple indirect. So we are assuming that if all the regions, pages should be in one level. So if we don't have an indirect block, then this all points to the region, persistent pages. If we have a indirect block, then the re-persistent pages will be at the leaf level, always at the leaf level.
I see. But what tells you that there are indirect blocks?
We have to count the
Number of regions.
number of persistent pages in a region by dividing the size of the pointers.
Now, what I'm asking is, how do you know if the region root is pointing to data or it's pointing to region indirect pointers?
We have the size. We calculate the size at the beginning, but
that information is in the R node.
No, we're not keeping that.
This is
Because all of this is just a sequence of bits, right? If it's pointers, we don't know whether they are pointers to data or pointers to indirect clocks, and unless you keep that information somewhere else.
So we are planning not to keep any information in these nodes, in these blocks.
So like
we have a pointer to the in the.
Well, one thing that you could do is just use the paging-like architecture where there is a fixed number of levels of paging. And regardless of how much is the size of the region, you're always going through two or three levels depending on how many levels of paging you have. So you could use the same approach here. And then you would not have to deal with figuring out whether you have to go through indirect pointers and how many levels. Was always a fixed number of levels of indirection.
This is also true for these nodes also, R node pointers also.
Yes, they would have to have a similar issue. Although since it's metadata, you can probably have fewer levels of indirection than the data.
So you can keep it depends on the size of the pointer, how many levels we need for a region.
Yeah.
So we are thinking of if the page size is 8K for 64 bit systems, then we have 8K divided by 64 number of pointers.
Yeah, you could do 8K pages, or you could also go with the current Linux page size, which is 4K, which would be easier to, work with when you actually translate into an implementation.
Okay. So you should should keep a predetermined size of.
Right. Addresses should probably be 8 bytes. Because that in a 64-bit machine, assuming that you have a 64-bit physical memory space that spans both volatile and non-volatile, then the addresses that you're going to store here are basically, you could actually do less better than 64 bits because you only need to store the address of a page and not a byte, right? So you can save maybe, I don't know how many bits those are. So if you have a 4K page, then that requires 12 bits. So instead of 64 bits, you could use 52 bits. And I don't know if that would certainly help because a 4K divided by 52 is a lot more pointers than 4K divided by 64. It's something like 20% more. So, but I would say, at least initially when you are starting your implementation, just go with standard size pointers, which are 8 bytes, and then you could think about optimizing it later.
So we can keep the two levels of and then
two levels. Think about how much. What is the maximum region size you can address with two levels of?
This means.
are you talking about two levels here or two levels like this?
No, two levels here.
So it's a triple level interaction.
Yes.
So that would be, let's say, it's 4K divided by 8.
256.
To the power of 3, right?
Yes.
How much is that?
2 to the 9 to 2 to the 3.
Mm-hmm. What is that?
2 to the 27.
Mm-hmm. And each of these pointers address 4K. So
yes.
So times 4K, right?
put about 29.
Yeah, like so. Kilobytes. How much is that? Let's say 2 to the 30 approximately. It's 10 to the 10. 2 to the 30 is
10 to the power 20.
2 to the 30 is
2 to the power 10, 10
to the 10 power of 3.
10.
Right? So 2 to the 10 to the 9.
Yeah,
so 10 to the 9 kilobytes.
So 10 to the 9 kilobytes, like
100 GB. 1000 GB. Yeah. It's 1 terabyte. Yeah. So 1 terabyte. Okay. So that would be or half a terabyte, because we added a power of 2 there to round things up. Half a terabyte is what a region can contain. That sounds reasonable, at least for now. It won't be something that people would oppose vigorously, so let's leave it at that. Okay, so two-level indirection here, maybe or triple indirection here. Maybe a double indirection here. Double indirection would still give you a lot of regions, because the number that we are talking about here is the number of R nodes. And then you need to actually think about what is the size of an R node.
Well, we're thinking of keeping a minimum number of things in the R node, like the owner permissions.
Okay.
Then the region number.
Name, you mean?
If we keep the use the D entry, then we can keep the number.
So you would have to have a name too, somewhere, right? Because if someone does an LS on your region system, you have to present a name back. The question is, where does that go? Does it go? You want to think about supporting directories as well.
We are thinking of implementing the D entry, like in the file systems, but keeping the minimum from the D entry in this case.
So usually D entries would have a list of contents, right? And and typically D entries would have a list of names of subdirectories or files contained within them. So you could do the same thing. And plus, they would also need a pointer to the R node, as you call it, for the subdirectory or the file. So if the R node is a subdirectory, then does it have a pointer to a region root as well? Probably not, right? You would have... So the question is, are R nodes for directories the same as R nodes for regions? Region directory is the same as R node for regions. I think for that, if you borrow again from what the Linux file system does, it would make sense. Okay, so I think this is becoming a little bit more clear, and you might have to do another revision to address some of the discussions we had today. So let's look at what else you got.
This is just the description of what we discussed
just now. Okay. Okay. So these are the data structures that you've listed on the previous figure, right? Okay. So these are just a list of pointers, R node point, or just a list of pointers.
These are the in-memory representation of how we want to keep these things. So,
okay. I'm just thinking now that is there an equivalent of a mount operation for a region system? Does it make sense?
Yes. The RS group?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, almost like that. Because on system source, we have to calculate the. We have to know the root location in the NVM initially.
There might be, the question is, would there, does it make sense to have multiple roots?
Yes.
And if you have, let's say, an NVM that is partitioned and you have one region system and region system, there's another region system and so on. Right. So you need to have some notion of identity for a region system.
Like file system type.
Right. So I'm just wondering where that goes in this. How does it go into this structure or something else?
In the super block object, like this is same as the super block object. If you think like
okay.
That. So there's like something like device ID and size of this.
Mm-hmm.
So we can keep like the size or the region ID.
Mm.
Region system ID.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, so you need something to uniquely identify that region system instance. Right? Here we are talking about instance of a region system. There could be multiple instances, one in each partition. And just like there are different kinds of or different types of file systems, in the future you can think or envision different types of region systems. Where internally the region systems are all implemented differently, but they all expose the same syscall API that we have in the paper, right? Just like file systems today do. And you can think of like a VFS equivalent for a region system, like a VRS, right? Virtual region system that unifies all these namespaces. Then when you start thinking about that, you also think about, well, does all of this need to be unified under VFS itself? Right, do you mount a region system into VFS? But the thing is that the VFS today has a fixed set of operations, right, which may not make sense for a region system. So in other words, what you're talking about is like a wrapper around the region system that makes it look like a file system so that you can go and register with the VFS, right? So I don't know if you have a copy of the paper, but in the paper, that's one of the paths that we talk about here, right? That is number three, right? Number three would be that.
Yeah.
Right, so that's basically NVM. Building a wrap. Yeah, NVMFS is building a wrapper around a region system so that it looks like a file system which can then register with the VFS. So that's one direction, right? Doesn't have to be the only direction. Just like this paper here discusses five different possibilities, right? So the other possibility is number two, where you have an application or a library interacting directly with the region system without going through the VFS, right? And for that interaction, you could potentially think about something like a VRS, which is a virtual region system, under which many instances of region systems being registered, right? Just like today we have for file systems. So considering all that, I would encourage you to think about what would need to go in, both in the in-memory version as well as the persistent version of the RS root. That's probably one of the most important data structures for such a region system.
So I have a question about the file system implementation, where there is some on disk data structures, and there is the VFS structures.
Right.
So
The PFS contains all of the structure, all of the structures in the on disk.
Not necessarily. See, the interface that the VFS requires file system to export is a given. So when the VFS says, okay, give me your super block structure, it requires the super block structure to be instantiated in memory in a specific format. But that could be very different than how the file system actually stores its super block on disk. It may do more, it may have more information there, maybe less information that it, and then it creates some information dynamically to make the VFS happy. Right, so they are equivalent, and in most cases they are very similar to each other, right? They have similar information, but it's not necessarily the same. And there are, for instance, the file struct doesn't have an equivalent in the persistent storage. Right, it's just exclusively volatile data structure. But the VFS demands that, right? So file systems present the VFS with such a data structure. Sometimes the VFS has its own internal data structure that it creates using information from the actual file system.
Right. So the actual file system typically contains the inodes and the super blocks, and then
indirect blocks. Yes.
And the VFS has this
bitmap, free space bitmap. Yeah. The actual file system will also have that. And in fact, the VFS doesn't have a notion of free space, but the VFS doesn't maintain free space bitmap even in memory.
Yeah.
Right? VFS has very minimal data structures in memory, and then the file system has more data structures in memory. And typically, the data structures that the file system maintains in memory that are not visible to the VFS are also reflected in persistent storage. But this is not a uniform. Doesn't apply uniformly for all file system level data structures, but most of them it does.
VFS normally keeps the inode caching.
Yeah, it's called a d-entry cache. Yeah.
So the version of d-entry would be saved on disk because only file name is stored on d-entry.
Well, the d-entry, let's see. The d-entry cache contains data structures which are in a specific format that the VFS can understand. Because what it uses the d-entry cache for is primarily path traversal. So if the application, let's say, issues an operation, and then within that operation, it specifies a file name with the absolute path or even relative path, and the VFS has this internal behavior where it parses that path name, and then for each component of the path name, it looks up the d-entry cache, right? And if it's a hit in the d-entry cache, it doesn't need to bother the actual file system for resolving that component of the path name. At some point, let's say, it could also be possible that not only did it find all the d-entries in the path name to resolve, it also found the file itself, like the page of the file that is being accessed. And the VFS has, you know, controls the page cache, knows where the file is, right? And returns data to the application. The file system doesn't even know that there was a system call that was issued, right? And that's fine because there are certain operations which do not require the file system to participate. For instance, a read. If the data is in the cache, the VFS can return it back to the application without the file system even knowing about it. But there are other operations. So for instance, a write operation that eventually the file system needs to be able to handle. Then, of course, all the metadata operations the file system needs to be aware of. So the VFS has a template for all the operations that it could potentially issue to the file system, to the actual file system. Then the file system needs to register all these implementations with the VFS so that the VFS can call into each of those operations. So if you look at the Linux book, I think the date there is a data structure called VFS operations. So in that data structure, you know, the signatures of various operations that every file system would need to register is available. So every file system would create an instance of the VFS operation, then register that with the VFS. And when the time comes, you know, after doing the path resolution, the VFS figures out, well, this the next step in the path resolution or access to a file or creation of whatever directory or file needs to actually go to this file system. It just invokes one of those VFS operations. And what that does in turn is, invokes actual file system code, because that function was created as part of the file system and eventually registered with the VFS. Does this make sense to you guys?
But in this case, there's a thin line between regions and files, and how do you want to see the region?
That's right.
So it's very sometimes very confusing where to put the regions. Like, should you use the same architecture as the VFS, or should we write something just to do our so that we can do this PM map and.
I think for now, I think it's too early to talk to, think about designing something like a VRS. To begin with, what you're doing right now is fine, which is assume that there is only one instance of a region system in the NVM. You don't have to deal with it. But the reason I brought it up is when I'm reading this, I'm thinking about all of those possibilities, and you want to at least keep those possibilities in mind when you design this RS root structure. So if you are a little bit more, say, foresighted and take all of those into account, then your design will be more robust. Yes, in the future, you don't want to end up with a design that's not really extendable or extensible. So think about how to identify regions, region instances. Okay, so should we talk about some of the other data structures we have here?
The last one is about the region info, which is basically the region in this page.
Mm-hmm.
We keep a bitmap for region three pages in the region.
Mm. All of these are that you're talking about are in-memory structures?
Yes. So we keep a bitmap for the free pages in the region, and there is the size of the region, and there is a free page index pointing to the
next page,
and list of or array of pointers to the persistent pages. And as we discussed in the last meeting, we can derive the free page bitmap and the size initially when we access a region or create a region. These are the data structure what we thought about. And there is a global free page bitmap, which is
this is
the pointers to the persistent pages.
Mm-hmm.
When we are thinking about the PM sync, so we discussed about two possibilities of how to implement the PM sync and changing the pointers.
Okay.
So we had two options. Like, we wanted to keep a copy of the page which is being changed. So In one option, we have two pointers in the region level to old and new. So initially, all of the pointers are to the old, and when nothing has changed, new is now.
Oh, two pointers in the where is this?
In the region.
Is it persistent? I guess it is, right?
Yes.
Yes.
It's basically what the second level from the leaf, the indirect pointers, which points to the persistent pages.
So you're doing this at a per page?
Per page. Firstly, we thought about that, doing it per page. So if we do it per page, we have to keep two pointers for one page, and when PM sync is done, we point to the new page, and the old pointer is null.
Then you have to do that atomically for all the pointers. So, and also the other issue with this is that the size, maximum size of your region now reduced by half because you have two pointers per page.
Yes. So we pointed these two options, these two disadvantages here. So another thing we thought about doing it in the R-node level. So we keep a snapshot of all the pages and just keep a new page with a new current version. So the old version is the snapshot and new version is the current one. So when PM sync is done, we keep the current one. We keep the current one. And when if crashed, then we make the snapshot on the current one.
So this is happening now. Atomic operation is updating of the R-node data structure. An atomic write of what is the current
region?
The current region. So in this picture, where is that happening?
It's here.
It's here.
Yeah.
Okay. Yep, that's absolutely right. Yeah, that sounds much better.
Yeah, and for this system, the memory overstress is less than this. Because in this system, we have to keep duplicate for each space.
Okay. You mean metadata?
Metadata, yes.
Your pointer.
Yeah.
Yep, that's true. But in this case, you have to also copy indirect blocks, right? Potentially.
Yes.
So here, so I mean, what I'm saying is that let's say you update this guy, right? You update this guy, then first of all, you need to make a copy where you absorb the update so that the original is untouched. But then, you know, you also need to update this entry. So that it points to this.
But you can keep this, which is not affected by this update. You can keep this one points to that.
Oh, yeah.
And we can easily find out this position so that we can copy this one, copy all the.
Yeah, so this needs to be, what I'm saying is that this needs to be copied as well.
Yeah.
So you can absorb the update and do this, right? So you don't need to do this. And then when you do this, then you need to update this pointer as well, right? Correct?
Yes, for the new region.
Right, so you have a new region root. Just wondering if there is a way to avoid this copy and this copy. By storing the BPFS, for instance, has some ideas along these lines. Well, how do you, I'm trying to recollect the term that they use.
Short circuit.
Exactly right, yeah. So I'm wondering how we can apply that short circuiting idea here. So let's think about that short circuiting later, but at a high level, what you have then is an in place update of this guy, which says you need to have at least two things here. One is persistent and one is current.
Yes.
So for all in the regular operation, you always go through the current pointer because you always updating the current version of the region.
Yes.
but the persistent version of the region could be a different tree altogether.
Yes.
And then when this PM sync comes, you just say P equals C atomically.
Yes.
Right? Okay, that sounds reasonable. Let's stick to the simpler one, and at some point you need to, or in the back of your mind, think about the short circuiting idea and how that can be, if it can be used here. Because certainly this would require more copying. If we can do short circuiting, then might be beneficial. Yep, let's think about this more later. Okay, so what's the next thing you got? So these are all the in-memory structures.
Yes.
Right. And then you have the... Yeah, so you have
pointed
two things?
Out to the two free page reflaps,
mm-hmm.
how they're different. One of them keeps track of all the free pages in the MVM,
mm-hmm.
and another one just keeps track of the page numbers of a region.
Mm-hmm.
It's number and it's the address of the, and then another thing we have to do is a so in this case we try to in the PM sync
mm-hmm.
We try to keep a list of the change pages
mm-hmm.
for the when
dual mode page.
Yeah, when something is written on the pages, so
okay.
we keep a copy and we keep
a list.
Yeah, but if we keep it as a R node, then we keep a snapshot of the region level, then we don't make the page, make the list. We
okay.
We wanted to traverse the list and change all the pointers to the pages.
Mm.
There is a. If,
but if you do that, how do you know that? How do you ensure that it's atomic?
Yeah, that's why I don't want to keep that.
Yeah.
We need to rotate it here. So.
You want to think about how, if the short circuiting idea applies and how it does without violating the consistency of the region when there is a crash, right? Okay. So, in terms of persistent structures, I think you need the details of each of these guys. What goes in each of these right? I'll accept the last one. That's just data, but everything in between. I don't know if you had a chance to do that, but that might be one thing you want to do. Are these persistent structures?
No, this is like the file. Structure, the relation between the process and the open files.
Mm.
It is the same, but we just want to keep minimum things.
Mm.
So I'm not sure about this geometry object because I have to read some more. So I have to expose some more.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's good to understand what exactly the geometry contains and why.
But I guess this is very important because normally what I see is that the dentry objects gives the inode numbers and inodes for operations. So
yeah, the Linux kernel development book has a good description
yeah,
of that.
I'm going through that, but I'm not still quite sure.
By the way, are you guys taking the advanced OS class in the course?
Planning.
Yeah. Okay. So in that class, we basically just use that book. That's the materials for that class, rather raw material for the class. So hopefully we'll get to discuss all of those concepts. Mm. Yep, so what I would ask you to do then next is to write up the signatures of each of the data structures which are persistent and revisit, you know, the volatile data structures are also the goal for each of these volatile data structures should be written out, right? What is the purpose of the data structure? And does the data structure have some function pointers which you can, you know, call into for doing certain things, right? Maybe it's not required, but think about that as well.
So it's like the operations.
Functions,
yeah. And then you have something called a regions struct.
A region struct is the same as the file struct,
mm-hmm.
which keeps the track of the open files for a process. So this will keep the track of the regions,
mm-hmm.
open regions for a process.
Mm-hmm.
This is
for a process.
Yes, for a process.
So if it's per process, why do we have that number of processes sharing this table? Maybe that's a copy and paste error.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe this is the number of regions that the process is currently opened. It may make more sense. Should be more something like number of regions.
Opened by this process.
Is a per process structure, right?
Yes.
Hmm. Okay. So now you have a list of operations. That's very good. So you have some idea about what happens in each of these operations.
Yes.
Let's see. Open. The region de-entry list. This is the region de-entry list. You mean the region
de-entry
cache?
Yes.
Okay, so cache is not, it's not all the de-entries, right? So you might have to do lookups. Cache if the region exists.
Region number.
Region ID. If else, you may have like a B where ask region. Okay, so the question is this being done by a VRS like entity or the region system itself? And if it is, then you need to think about, well, going beyond the cache, because there may be, the other thing here is that do we need a cache? Because you can directly access persistent memory.
Yeah.
So I think the cache actually doesn't exist for region systems.
Cool.
And neither does the page cache.
No, we don't.
Right? So you look up the region using region name, and that's about it. And that would require looking up persistent memory structures and so on. And so this goes away. Let's see, this goes away. If region exists, I would say create that structure that you have per region.
Yeah.
What is that struct region? Right? That's what it is. Update the entry list.
Look at the test.
Oh, you have that? Yes. Okay. And then you also need to update this guy, right?
Yes.
For the process that opened the region. You have it. Yes, okay.
And this is for new, creating the new region metadata update.
Create a new R node. Create a pointer to the new region. Number of pointers. Okay, so you're just creating. You're creating this, right? And you're creating a root as well?
Yes.
That requires a page. You may not need this on an open.
So the name is map is for the node to spread that this.
No, alloc page.
Oh, alloc, yes.
When you do the alloc page, then you would go and create this region root. The you may have two levels of indirect pointers and you alloc a page.
We are thinking this term when we are discussing this. We are thinking. Obviously, you said just now, but we discard it. So,
why?
Like, when we are discussing about the creating a new region, we are thinking that we should have this
page and root.
We shouldn't have page. And then again, we decided that it is needed when we create.
Just wondering why you would. So, let's say that someone created a file. But they didn't alloc any pages. Oh, sorry, because you need the region root. There's no need for the region root unless it contains some region specific metadata. From what I understood, the region root only contains point region root. So this point could be just set to null, right?
Yes.
And then when the time comes to allocate a page, that's when you instantiate this pointer, alloc this page, alloc this page, alloc this page, and then alloc this one.
Yes.
Right. That might make up.
So we're creating a region up to create a R node channel.
Yeah. Three page bitmap, right? Global, and then there is per region. You said there is some per region bitmap.
Yes, yes.
So what happens to that? I don't know. Does it get created at this point? Or?
No, it is not created, I think. Because since we are not creating any page.
Usually the number of pages were as we allocated a region page for the region, then the number of pages were equal to the size of the pointer.
Yeah.
So, but now we don't need the free page pointers because we don't allocate any.
So I think about what is in the per region bitmap given this new path. It should be relatively straightforward.
Yes, yes.
The next thing, the problem is we just have about 10 minutes and a few more people will show. I want to go through this as quickly as possible. Flows.
So we basically didn't update these.
Okay. Okay, so this is the same as the last.
Yes.
Okay, why don't you update these as well? Because it's important.
Just update PMSync.
You did update PMSync. Let's look at that then. Which one? Oh, that's PMMap. Okay. Mm. Initially, all the pages are read-only. All the mapped pages are read-only.
Okay.
But then now, given this new approach, you will have to mark all the metadata pages as read-only as well. Well, actually, no, you don't need to do that. You don't need, because the application doesn't access those metadata pages.
Yes.
The OS that does that. Applications don't have any direct access to this, so you don't need to mark them as read-only. So this is good enough. What you have, all the mapped pages are read-only. Then there is an attempt to write a page, allocate a page from NVM, update global free bitmap, yes. Make a copy of the current page. Modify the page table entry so the page table now points to, before you do that, I guess, copy the page table, copy the indirect blocks, right?
Yes.
Update that and basically recurse up the tree of indirect blocks. Until you get to the region root. So even the region root gets copied. And change C equals C plus Y, something like that. Right?
Change the current one to persistent.
Change C equals new region root. Right? Make the new pointer. So this changes too. All of this changes. Okay. Program crashes. No, hold on. Well, this is not happening on a PM sync.
This is a PM sync, I think.
Okay, so we need to change the title here.
This is when a process is going to write to a page or a region.
This happens at the end of the PM sync. After you do that, after you do the PM sync, set all mapped pages to read only.
Yes.
Once again, so that you can track the changes for the next PM sync. One of the things I'll ask you guys to do is to read this paper called Software Persistent Memory. If you haven't done it, one of the papers we wrote in the last year. If you go to my website, you'll have a link to that. A lot of the things that we are talking about in terms of PM sync, many of the ideas there would apply to this project as well. Maybe slightly differently. So, it's a related piece of work that you guys should read certainly, and that might give you some ideas as well. Okay, so let's do that. Let's update this. And if you can send me the updated document a day in advance, then I'll certainly be able to read it. You have
some time today.
I have about 5 minutes.
We are thinking about taking classes on fall.
Mm-hmm.
Like, okay,
let me stop.